Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, Check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
Your picks have been horrible, man.
It's the point. It's the point of the show. Isn't it? It's possible. I don't understand what this podcast is about.
Poppycock. The fuck house.
On a weekly basis, we are consuming more concentrated bad movies than probably anybody in the history of mankind.
Poppycock.
What story? What are you talking about?
Do you want lunch?
I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over. Okay.
Eva's waiting for him at the restaurant, and she looks good in that dress. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Someone disagrees.
Yeah,
she also has a magic 8-ball with her.
What, why does she have a magic 8-ball with her?
It's never explained!
At all!
It's never explained. It's never brought up again. She just had a magic 8-ball in her purse. And we don't know why.
That's the time.
He's talking to himself in the mirror at home, and his hand is getting red as he talks. He's hearing motorcycle noises. Back at the restaurant, she's filling her wine glass and drinking irresponsibly.
They want us to believe the reason he's running late is because of all the supernatural shit that's about to happen.
He's still in his apartment.
You know, it wasn't like on the way, the supernatural. Like, you were planning on being super late, regardless if the devil showed up or not. Second of all, why do they pour wine halfway through the glass?
I don't like that.
To let it breathe, I mean.
Nah, man.
Is that for real? I don't know anything about wine other than
that. Yeah, it's to let it breathe, but I don't think that that's going to make a big difference in my wine consumption.
I just feel like they're kind of getting away with murder here.
Of
you know,
course.
Like, it's like,
have you
ever
seen the markup on these bottles?
Yeah, like it's like when you go to a bar and you order a drink and they like load like a ton of ice in there. Like, I'm not getting any drink in this. I'm just, you're, all you did was just give me a cup of ice with a couple of drops of alcohol in it.
I don't buy wine at restaurants, but if I did, I would just buy the bottle. There's no chance I'm buying wine by the glass.
Remember that time that, or no, you weren't there, but you heard about the time when Waz and I were just getting rosé by the glass. This was a Sussman thing. You don't remember this?
No, I was not here for that.
Sussman, Waz, Burn, and I were meeting like these ad guys from Thrillist. And so I showed up late. I showed up late. And Waz is drinking rosé. And I was like, yo, that sounds delicious. I'll take a glass too. And so we go a couple glasses each. And Waz had already had a few. We go to sit down at a table. And finally, the waiter comes up. He's like, you guys just want to get a bottle? Like, it's so much cheaper to get a bottle. And I wish I could show you the actual image. But we asked, well, how much is the glass and how much is the bottle? I don't remember what the bottle cost, but the glass was like $36 a glass. And we had had a few, but we weren't paying for it. Well, I guess we did eventually. But to see the look on Sussman's face as he finds out that all these glasses we had been drinking were each $36.
A pop. Wow.
It was unreal.
That is incredible. How was it, though?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was really good. Really, really good. He walks into the alley. There's a special bike for him. He hears a demon laugh, and that's when Peter Fonda walks up to him. Fonda tells him he's the reason JB survived all those crashes. Kind of mocks him as he does it.
Definite sexual tension in this scene. Definite. Between the devil, the way the devil talks to him. I'm like, why are you talking like that?
All right, so then if there's sexual tension, is the demon mouth like kind of like the erection of demons?
What?
Like the demon mouth pops up and it's kind of like, yo, I'm feeling
you. Can't control it.
Yeah, can't control it. Okay, I'm into this. I can sense the tension there. JB can't get away, says he has to fulfill the contract. The wheels start spinning. He drives away at super speed. Things are melting. Glass is breaking. Fire is everywhere. A motorcycle cop at a speed trap gets blown off his bike.
Completely missed opportunity for the radar gun to say the speed is 666.
I started typing it out because I thought, oh, that's got to be a thing in this. I started typing that note out and then I had to delete it. These demons are from the Matrix. They're wearing dusters. They're looking for a cemetery from a long time ago. This guy says, you really shouldn't be here. That's what Wes says. That's what they keep telling me. What?
Jesus.
What does that mean?
Keeps asking to do stuff like, where's the cemetery? It's not here anymore. Where is it? Who would know? Like, just go to the fucking city planning department, like between 8 and 5. Like, why are you asking me? I'm just living.
Cage is back home. He's steaming. His face is burning. His shoes are on fire. He's struggling as he walks to the mirror. Guys, you know what he's doing?
He's acting his ass off.
Acting his fucking ass off in this scene.
Yes, he is.
He's phenomenal in this scene.
This is peak Nicolas Cage losing his shit.
Oh my God.
Cash the checks for Nicolas Cage.
100%. And this is how you make $228, baby.
All I could think of is, you know what? We're watching this scene right here, and they got the CGI and everything. But they had to shoot this somewhere.
I thought where there was not, the whole movie.
There's just a camera and a camera guy and a sound guy, and they're watching him. All right, Nick, this is the scene where you turn into the Ghost Rider. We're going to do all the CGI overlay on this. Got it. Okay. Here we go.
I would pay so much for the raw footage. So much.
How many takes?
No more than 3. I think he nails it. He knows what he's doing at this point. Are you kidding me?
He laughs at the end. Did you see it at the end? He's like,
he oh, yeah, no, because he's, oh, man, he's crazy. We dive into his pupils. There's fire. Now he's turned into fire. He's still acted his ass off. He has a flaming skull for a head. Blackheart loves it. Cage says, back to hell, you're going down. The trash talk in this movie is not good.
Oh, wait, you don't think it's good when he defeats one of these demons and the demon says, have mercy, and he says, sorry, all out of mercy.
He kind of has a Batman voice.
Oh, we'll get to the voice.
The wind demon knocks him onto a chain where he's basically being hung, and then a puddle demon traps his foot, and then another demon smashes a truck into him. Ghost Rider punches the truck demon, then says, yeah, sorry, all out of mercy. Then he wraps him up in his fire chain, and the other demons just abandon him. He turns into like some kind of statue that breaks apart. I couldn't really tell what happened there. He calls the motorcycle like a horse. He puts his hands on it.
How the fuck does a flaming skull whistle with his fingers, Zach?
Wait, that's where you were going with how the fuck? I'm like, how the fuck does a motorcycle respond to a whistle?
What? He's a Ghost Rider.
That's been established. He's a demon.
Okay, so then why would he have to whistle?
Two bones and bone lips cannot whistle.
Wait, why would he want to whistle, though? If he's a demon, if some demon magic thing, wouldn't it just come? Like, all right, I want my bike with me right now. Wouldn't it just approach on its own? If he didn't whistle, if he said, hey, the bike would be like, oh, no, you ain't talking to me. Like, yeah. Oh, now he whistles. Okay, that was our secret code. Okay, got it. I'm there.
Transforms into a hell bike with a giant skull front. Eva declines more wine. She's drunk off her ass. Stops the waiter asking if he thinks she's pretty.
This fucking guy, man.
And he goes, eh.
I would have quit my job.
What the hell is wrong with this man?
Oh, yeah.
I would have quit my job and said, lady, you and me, let's go.
Let's go, yeah.
It's at her hotel. You just poured her a full glass of wine. She's looking for validation, my man.
There's also no world in which this reaction makes sense. Because if he's a straight man, he's like, oh, man, come on. You're ridiculous looking, right? Like, of course. If he's a gay man, he's saying, oh, come on, girl. You're like, you're working. Like, you're fine. Like, no one doesn't give her the validation there. A woman would give her a validation.
Very stereotyped there. For Zach, oh, you think gay men are always just a gay friend? That's all they are.
There's no one that is not complimenting her there.
There is no man on earth who is not in some way attracted to Eva Mendes.
Yes. You kidding me? All right.
RuPaul.
RuPaul would be all about it.
100% big her up and probably set her up with someone.
You kidding me? Cage stops a mugger from stealing the purse of Rebel Wilson.
Give me the damn bag.
He says he's guilty. And to look into his eyes, the mugger tries to stab him, and he says, your soul is stained by the blood of the innocent. Then the mugger feels the pain of his victims, I think. We have a fiery montage.
Really weird montage with flames and flashbacks.
Did he die?
I don't think he's dead, Zach.
No, hold on. Yes, he's absolutely dead.
No, he's not. He's twitching.
Dead people twitch.
Now he's a vigilante? Like, out of the, you've never given a shit about anyone other than yourself your entire life. Now you're a vigilante.
And not even that. He's, like, possessed by a demon
right now. Second thing is, okay, you stopped a mugger, and your answer is death penalty? All lives matter much? I'm like, what are you doing, man? Just reminded me of, we're going to get into this in a future Cinephobe, but the Twitter account Batman Slander.
I fucking love that account.
Because it's so true. When you start to think about it, it's like there's all types of corruption and like Monsanto and things like that happening. And Batman's thing is I'm going to beat up some muggers. Like beat the shit out of them.
Beats the shit out of them. All right. Ghost Rider's driving through a cemetery. He falls to the ground. And as the sun rises, Cage turns back into human form. And the motorcycle is normal again. He's still in agony. Still acting his ass off.
He is acting his ass off.
No one else could have pulled this role.
Just the noises that he makes as he is crawling here.
Spectacular. He's spectacular. He's at the grave of his father. Sam Elliott shows up with a shovel.
Morning, bonehead.
Cage wakes up.
Can I go? Is this on YouTube?
Nah. Yeah, I don't know if we'd be able to find it in AFE because I'm not sure which one it is, but he'll just bust it out every once in a while.
It's a lot of them. Yeah.
When Star is Born came out, he was doing it a lot.
I'm going to text him and say, can you just send me a voice note?
Yeah, perfect.
Can you do me a quick favor?
Tell him to say morning bonehead as Sam Elliott.
Give me a voice note as Sam Elliott saying morning bonehead.
Morning bonehead. Good morning bonehead. Wake up and smell the coffee. It's morning bonehead. There comes a time in every man's life when he is called upon by a friend. And he must rise to the occasion. This one's more almost Johnny Cash. And I heard, as it were, a sound. When the man comes around. I am so talented.
Cage wakes up, chugs water out of a bunch of different cups and mugs.
5 different mugs.
Yeah.
He slams them all on the ground when he's done.
Sam has a pocket watch in front of another crate.
You didn't even stop to ask. I thought it was like holy water or something.
Why not just one bigger receptacle?
I thought it was coffee at first because of the drinking out of a coffee pot seat. I thought, I mean, this man just needs his caffeine.
No, he doesn't drink coffee out of mugs. He drinks coffee out of the pot. He drinks water out of mugs, obviously.
Cage says he feels like his skull is on fire, but he's okay. Sam says his bike looks normal. And last night did happen.
It'll happen again.
Sam calls him the Ghost Rider. Cage leaves. Roxy is reporting on the scene, and there's a connection between the victim at the train yard and the massacre at the biker bar.
How does she know this?
No, yeah, she's a reporter who does, on one day, she does stunt drivers, and the next day she's reporting on murder. Like, what news department is this where they stretch so
thin? Jane of all trades.
Yep. My microphone on the ground. So upset.
All right. The captain also just starts touching shit at the crime scene without gloves on.
No comment.
Sam explains that the writer is the devil's bounty hunter. During the day, he'll be normal, and at night, the writer takes over. He describes the penance stare to the mugger. All the writers have this power. Sam is telling about the town of San Benganza.
It sears the souls of the wicked.
Cage wants to know
exposition.
What this has to do with Blackheart, and it rocks Sam. Describes the fallen angels hiding within the elements. They can't come onto hollow ground. Says, where are you going? There's something I got to see. That's a bad idea. Wouldn't be my first. It's a good exchange.
Oh, my God.
Says he made the deal because he was a kid, and what he got in return was heartache. He sees the damage Ghost Rider did to the city.
This is me every time I black out drinking, and I wake up in the morning.
What'd you get in return? Long pause. Heartache.
This movie's like, what, like an hour and 48 minutes? It could have been an hour and 30 minutes if they just cut out the long pauses.
Can't cut out the long pauses.
So could this pod.
Any cinephobe fan knows the value of a long pause.
Roxy is talking to the girl he saved, and she says his face was a skull and it was on fire.
She sounds so hot. Her shirt says, I leave bite marks.
She says he did her a favor, and it's a reminder she can get over him. Says he's just the same. It says you're better paid and more fans, but you're still just a carny, which is a lethal blow.
Still just a carny.
That's a lethal fucking blow.
His eyes are so blue in this scene. They're like two Heart of the Ocean Titanic necklaces.
Yeah. He's just so captivating. Aren't you captivated by him?
When I stare into those two sapphires.
I did feel like carny was a little too far.
Well, then he walks by a mirror, and he is fucking jacked.
He's so cut.
Ripped. To the point that my favorite trivia about this movie, and I legitimately watched this for my own, so I can confirm this on IMDb, is that in the director's commentary of the DVD, the director addresses internet rumors that Nick Cage's abs were CGI'd and says they are not. That is him. He's doing weird shit with his face in the mirror. He's trying to scare the flaming skull out of himself. He's also reading Faust for answers. The host can gain control of the possessing spirit by manipulation. And that's when he says, I'm speaking to the fire element within me. Give me control over the possessing spirit. His hand starts to flame and he throws fire at some candles. And that's when Roxy shows up to his place.
She's so horny.
Yo, she's
so fire, though, man. Yeah. Yo, is there any woman as beautiful as Eva Mendes who consistently plays the lower power hand in all these relationships? You understand what I'm saying?
Right, because Hitch, Hitch, there's a weird dynamic going, but.
But, like, think about the other guys.
The lower power hand of a two-hander.
It's a two-hander. It's a real two-hander.
Yeah. Think about the other guys. Think about Training Day.
Yeah.
Think about, like, she's always
We own the night, too.
Yeah. Like, yo, like, there's no scenario in the real world with Eva Mendes. Like, you would be running after her. She's not chasing after you.
100%. She shows up. She came to apologize. She's leaving town tonight. Didn't want that to be their last interaction. Then she asks if something is burning. He says, and this is, you know what? This is very Ben Stiller. This is very lying on the spot, so I figured you appreciated this. I mean, he says that it must be the neighbor's hibachi, Bill. He just got it.
I love this because Gilbert Arenas started calling himself hibachi around this time.
Right.
Mid-2000s is when hibachi was where it was at, man.
Yeah, hibachi was at its prime, man. She's reminiscing over their old shows, and that's when she kisses him, which I wrote, do you think his dick is hot? You think his dick burns?
It is, but that had nothing to do with the devil.
I mean, all the other bones in his body are on fire.
Had to deal with a carny worker that was unprotected.
Yeah.
All right, he says he should walk her to her car because it's not great timing. She's trying to make sense of his contradictory actions. He's very perplexed. He says that she wouldn't believe him and she'll think he's crazy. She says that nothing can surprise her, and that's when he tells her he sold his soul to the devil.
After a long pause.
In my job, I've seen and heard just about everything. So there is nothing you can tell me that's going to surprise me.
Off the record?
Yeah.
I sold my soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to spare you.
Spare me from what?
The devil. on account I work for him. That's why I couldn't make it to dinner.
Because you were working for the devil.
Well, yeah, I'm his bounty hunter. But it only happens at night, like it is right now. Whenever I'm around evil, evil people, mm-hmm. evil spirits, okay. I change into...
What?
Just a great big monster. But I am learning to... I'm getting control of it. I'm trying to.
So tonight, you'll...
I believe so. Which is why it's probably a very good idea that you run on home now.
She says it's a good idea for her to run on home, and she says that either he believes it and needs a psychiatric hospital, or he's making stories up not to be with her, and she's leaving forever. Then the cops pick up Nick Cage. I don't understand how they – yeah.
Why?
I feel like there was a scene deleted there. They interrogate him. Cage calls him out on the good cop, bad cop routine.
But why?
I watch a lot of TV.
He says he didn't kill anybody, and they're going to put him in jail.
There was literally nothing. They didn't bother even have like his hat fell down at the scene of the crime.
There's no evidence at all. They throw him into a holding cell, and all the bad souls are turning him into the Ghost Rider. And there's like a black 12-year-old kid in there.
Yes.
Delete that out. A guy is, somehow Amin offended himself, which I didn't think was possible. Leave it in, just bleep it. That's funnier. The guy is mad that he showed up, he went to Johnny Blaze's show and didn't die. Those were his notes on the performance.
You're a monkey in a cage. Get in the cage.
They punch him. They throw him. He's laughing. They slap the black kid. They start piling on him. He knocks him off as the Ghost Rider. And then he penance stares the guy I called fake Rob Corddry. Takes his jacket. And now there are spikes everywhere on it.
He stretches before he's about to fight. Yep. And I said, why would a demonic being need to stretch before fighting? It's like doing like, you know, swinging his arms around and like cracking his knuckles. I'm like, whoa.
Look, even demons got to be limber, you know? He points at the kid and he says, innocent.
Woke as fuck.
He melts the bars and walks out. The kid faints.
When he gets the jacket, he makes all the spikes bigger. So one of Ghost Rider's powers is to make things bigger?
Yes.
Blue Chew.
That's how he got the burning.
Blackheart is at a church. He tells the priest he sinned a lot.
Can he not go into a church?
I don't know. I don't understand the devil or his kinfolk.
Maybe I should reread that Bible, you know, and learn these rules.
Ghost Rider gets some police brutality from a cop as he leaves. He cracks his jaw. Matumbo fingers him, and then he grabs his chain and he rides off.
If Ghost Rider was black, that cop would not have hit him. We would not have pulled out the knife, dude. He would have just unloaded the clip.
That later.
As he leaves, a neon garage sign sparks, and then it just says, rage.
Yeah, I like that.
It happens later after they exhaust every single diplomatic method of stopping a man on fire with a skull for a head.
Like, just drove up and down vertically a building.
And they're still like, wait, hold on my command, guys. I'm like, really?
Blackheart asked the priest for the contract of San Venganza. He says, raise no more devils than you can lay down. My father raised one too many. What?
They keep doing this weird, like, very obviously CGI demon face for Blackheart. I don't like it.
But I just don't understand, like, what is your point?
Blackheart sucks.
Yeah, he's a terrible
guy. It's not that hard. He sucks.
What is his point?
The Ramp is a better villain than Blackheart is in this movie. Cops are after Ghost Rider now. He drives up a bridge. He sees the cops surrounding the bridge. He jumps into the water with the bike, then flips off the cops
rides on the top of the ridge. They're still – he's in the middle of the water. Literally, there's no one they can hurt other than fish in the water.
Right.
And they're still like, I don't know yet, guys. He's white, so let's give him a chance to explain himself.
Nick Cage was super smart to choose this role because he didn't have to shoot half the scenes.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh, it's brilliant. You got the full paycheck.
Get paid full money.
Yeah.
Show up half the time. Rewrite your scenes.
Blackheart and his demons get approached by Cage. They're trying to ambush him. A wind demon knocks him off his bike. He's chasing the wind demon. The cop is chasing him. Drives up a building, shattering all the glass. Roxy sees him from another building. Now she's starting to believe. He reaches the roof, and a helicopter tracks him down. He lassos the copter with his chain. Cops have surrounded the building. He pulls the helicopter to the roof. The pilot apologizes, and he swings the copter away from the building.
This is an important scene. We'll get to it later.
Also, this is a great line from the wind demon. He says, "You should have joined us, Ryder. Soon we will have the contract, and you will be only a footnote in the history of the new hell." That's good writing right there.
Hold on.
I like that.
New hell.
Yeah.
Like, the idea is that, like, there are people in hell who are like, not with it. we can put some drapes on this side over here.
I mean,
we can open, like, a bar over there. I'm liking this idea of a new hell.
I mean, you know, it's Mexico is fantastic. You know what's great? New Mexico. Ryder grabs says time to clear the air. He can't lasso him because he's there.
I like that.
He says he cannot catch the wind.
You cannot catch the wind.
So he swirls his flaming chain around the wind, creates a vortex of fire or something. I don't know. I didn't understand the physics here. Kills the demon.
Vortex of fire is perfect. You nailed it.
Rides down the building, does a superhero landing on the ground with the bike. Roxy sees that he wasn't lying. She says Johnny, and he walks over to her, but the cops unload on him.
When he sees her, his flame starts glowing blue.
Blue.
Do they know that blue flame is hotter than orange flame?
Also,
well, blue so flame, does that
great strip club in Atlanta?
Does blue flame denote blue balls?
As opposed to orange balls.
Orange balls, yeah.
Zach's balls usually look like, apparently.
Yeah, usually orange. Tangerines. He rides away. Blackheart knows his weakness now. Cage goes back. What happened?
Now we know his weakness.
Cage goes back to the cemetery. Sam takes him to the Carter Slade grave. Sam tells him how Slade became the Ghost Rider.
You don't watch TV? What's the matter with you?
Tells him about the contract. Slade rode off with the contract, stealing it from Mephistopheles. Might have been buried with it, but Blackheart is coming. And he'll use anybody against him.
Sam Elliott's facial hair reaches up to his eyes.
It does, yeah. Look,
go back and watch that scene.
Yeah.
Like, when he shaves, he's got to start right below his eyeball.
He's got to shave his whole goddamn face.
He's a fucking man, that's why. He's a man. That guy's a man.
Let me tell you guys, you're messing up. You're wasting money. You're wasting money to try to look good, and it's just not the way to go. You got to switch to Harry's, okay? I know you're shaving. I know you're doing all this stuff. You got to switch to Harry's. Here's why. In 1 year, you could save, like, enough for 26 cups of coffee if you live in New York. Live in Chicago, you get, like, 3 pizzas, deep dish style. Netflix subscription? That's 6 months worth of Netflix right there. You can Netflix and chill or Netflix and quarantine a lot more by having Harry's. And guys, we're going to be here for a while, hopefully. So you want to get Harry's. Harry's has a trial set delivered to your doorstep by going to harrys.com/ding. And let me tell you a little bit about this. Quality, durable blades at a fair price. $2 a blade. German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. They cut out the middleman and they're bringing you the blades from there. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on schedule with or without a subscription. You get blades, you get hair care, you get shower products, you get it all on harrys.com. And just like the blades, Harry's is committed to providing premium products without breaking the bank. Our listeners, again, go to harrys.com/ding. And this is what you're going to get. You get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. You want that lubrication, trust me. Rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin so hydrated, so silky smooth. You're not going to hurt yourself. You're not going to cut yourself. You could do this blind and you're still going to have that smooth, smooth shave. And a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. So just go to harrys.com/ding to start shaving and start saving today. I don't want to have to tell you again. Save some money by going to Harry's.
Cage is worried about Roxy. She goes to his place and Mac is there. They scare each other. Mac is worried the arrest could end Cage's
Mac
career.
Mac looks like he was beaten off, by the way.
Beaten off. Are you kidding me? Mac says they were riding the gravy train with biscuit wheels before she showed up. She tells Mac that she loves Cage, needs info to help. He tells her about the weird books he's been reading. Now it's nighttime. Cage creeps up on the cameraman looking for Roxy. She's reading the books. She's scared by the pics. Blackheart then kills Mac. but freezing him or sucking his soul out or whatever he does.
It looks like he's squeezing out an entire tube of toothpaste.
Yeah, he toothpastes him. Says he's going to break Cage's heart. She's pale and cold. Blackheart pushes Cage against the wall. Ghost Rider reverses. His penance stare doesn't work on Blackheart because he's got no soul to burn. He likes it there and won't go back. Blackheart says to give him the contract and maybe he'll spare her life. Don't make him wait. Now Johnny Blaze is at the cemetery. Sam says, figured you'd be back, Bonehead. Cage is going to dig it up. Sam says it's not the ground. It was hidden in the shovel. Why? Why is it hidden in the shovel?
Yo, this got me, though.
Did it?
I like this. Yes.
Did you not know? Hold on. Did y'all not know from the very beginning? He works in a cemetery. He knows everything about Ghost Rider, and he's working on the grave of Castor, whatever. I was like, oh, he was a cowboy from the beginning of the movie. Like, instantly, there was.
That's not a twist. Like, that was pretty obvious.
No, but the contract being in the shovel, that was dope as fuck, dude, because he's always got the shovel with him. I like that. Wow, silence. Long pause, huh?
I didn't dig it. I just thought the script could be more grounded with that.
They really buried the lead on that one.
I thought it was a grave mistake.
Yo, stop beating the dead horse.
Johnny Blaze says to trust him because he may have his soul, but he doesn't have his spirit.
Where did this movie take place again?
It's supposed to be Texas, I think.
Yeah, I think it's Texas.
It's Australia, though, so that's the problem. Wait,
yeah, they're in Melbourne.
No, but like it takes place in Texas. Is it Corpus Christi?
Wow.
Any man who's got the guts to sell his soul for love has got the power to save the world. What?
Yeah, I had the same note. I literally have, what?
He has to take the contract to San Venganza, which is 500 miles away. They better get moving. Sam will ride a mysterious horse. That's going to take forever on that horse, I said. But then turns into a flaming skull, and he's Carter Slade.
Then it turns into like a steampunk Wild Wild West robo horse.
Yeah, I like that.
And then there is this just really weird extended sequence of them riding through the desert.
It's real weird.
That looks like the end of Wild Wild West.
Also, they murder a lizard. They ride by a lizard, and that thing catches on fire and dies.
It's the lizard's fault.
Broken lizard.
Sam says to stick to the shadows, and then he rides away. They both turn back to human form. He says this is the end of the trail for him. This was his last change. Hope God gives him a second chance.
I was so confused by this. Carter can only change into a Ghost Rider one more time. Why is that? What rules dictate that?
Question.
And he's waiting for this moment to redeem himself, but all he does is ride there and then die. He doesn't even fight.
Yeah, you know, he's not really a friend.
One last ride, baby.
But they don't have that much of a relationship, right? Like, I'll show you the way. I'm not gonna go, though. I'm not gonna go into that fight.
Why not fight, though?
He's an old man.
It was fucking stupid is what it was.
Cage is creeping through the marsh, some kind of marsh thing. The water demon tries to drown him, but he burns the water demon into nothing.
Easiest kill yet.
Easiest kill. That was so, and he baited him into that.
Wallow seems surprised that he could turn into Ghost Rider.
Yeah, he did seem very surprised. How deep into Gillian Jacobs?
No, I have a feeling he's still looking at like all fantasy everything stats.
Amin has not talked for a while.
Awful, man. Like, I got an email about some shit in them. My next note isn't until he gets all the souls to get into him.
Wow, that's okay. A lot happens. We'll blow through that. Now they're in the ghost town. Blackheart says if he changes, she dies. She says to do it anyway. Cage pulls out the contract. Blackheart throws her against a wall. They're both holding the contract. He turns into the rider. Ghost Rider throws fire rocks against his back. But the sun's coming up, so he's starting to change back into Nick Cage. Blackheart catches the chain. Throws him onto an empty fountain. Cage tries to get a gun. Blackheart calls all the souls of San Venganza. They all start going into his mouth. And I did say this. I mean, I questioned the 1,000 souls. Is that really a lot? When they all start going into him, it felt like a lot.
It is a lot. And it seemed like an odd time for them to really... on the side of accuracy.
Right.
in this
movie. You think there were also, actually 1,000 souls?
I'm sorry, did you say air?
Yeah, air.
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 Air is what you breathe.
To air on the side of accuracy.
Air is what Esteban Tyler was. He said, you cannot catch air.
He wasn't an Aerosmith?
Also, Blackheart says, all of you, come to me. And I said, what the hell is this movie? Why do these 1,000 souls give them the power to change the earth into a living hell?
I don't know.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
Roxy rushes to Johnny. Blackheart's eyes are red. They say, my name is Legion, for we are many.
No. He says, my name is Legion, for we are... Long pause. Many!
It's terrible writing. It is terrible writing. Cage says that he has to get him into the shadows. He shoots him with the gun repeatedly. Blackheart shoves him through a door.
Roxy wants to bail, but Johnny says he has to fight. And then he says,
I'm the only one who can walk in both worlds. I'm Ghost Rider.
They said it! They said it!
He picks up Cage, but Roxy shoots him. Now she's out of bullets. She throws the gun to Cage.
How do shotgun shells affect the supernatural being?
I don't know. The shadows make it a fire gun of sorts, I guess. He shoots Blackheart, and the souls are all forming back into Blackheart.
Why would souls look like corpses?
Yeah, I was wondering why they were zombie-like.
Yeah, that's a good question, yeah.
I guess because they're evil, but I don't know.
How does it feel to have all that evil
inside?
But
they're mummified. And,
yeah. All of their power, all those souls, all their souls to burn, and then he hits him with the penance stare.
This is a good move.
Because now he's got the souls in him.
What? My last four notes are just what?
It didn't work earlier because he had no soul, but now he's got 1,000 souls. I mean, it takes him down. Eva seductively walks to Ghost Rider. Oh my god,
flame gets blue again.
Yeah, she reaches for him. He says monster and turns away, but she's not afraid. She touches his fire skull and it turns him back into his regular form.
Just like Beauty and the Beast.
Peter Fonda shows up, says he wants to take back the power of the Ghost Rider. He gets his life back. He'll get someone else to carry the curse. Says, no, I'm going to own this curse and I'm going to use it against you. Whenever innocent blood is spilled, it'll be my father's blood and you'll find me there. The spirit of vengeance fighting fire with fire.
What?
I do not understand how the devil works.
I never understood why he offered him freedom in the first place.
Right. What is the best part? So he says to him, you can keep my soul. And the devil gets upset about it and says, I will make you pay for this. You already did. You've got a soul. Like, wouldn't the devil be like, this is great. I own his soul forever. I don't think they understand what the whole concept of owning someone's soul is.
This is an awful monologue. I was very upset.
Oh, I liked it.
It was setting up the next movie, I guess.
Yeah. Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, there was a sequel?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
It made so much money on me.
It made $228. What are you talking about? Is there another movie? Fonda disappears after Cage says you can't live in fear. Blackheart disappears. They're walking to the tree from their youth. She asks why his choices always keep them apart. She says this
it's
is
on
what
Amazon Prime
meant to be. Oh, boy. He has his second chance to make the best of it.
18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah,
and Nicolas Cage is still in it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Goddamn right.
They kiss.
Idris Elba?
Yes. They kiss under the tree. Then Sam comes back. It's said that the West was built on legends and legends, blah, blah, blah.
This is how legends are born.
Close up of Cage riding in the flaming skull. Roll credits.
It made $132 million on a $75 million budget. Yes.
Yeah, man.
It's on stars this weekend.
Pick it as our next movie, you fucking coward. Nick Cage's alleged hairpiece required 3 hours to apply every day.
But the abs were real, bitch.
Nick Cage has a Ghost Rider tattoo and had to cover it up with makeup to play Johnny Blaze. And his computer-generated skull was made from a three-dimensional x-ray taken of his actual skull.
Nicolas Cage, huge Marvel fan, huge comic book fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I never knew this. I'm wondering if you knew this. Did you know that the cage in Nicolas Cage is taken from Luke Cage?
I did not know that either.
He's woke. Isn't Luke Cage black?
Luke Cage is black.
All right, there you go.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nick Cage wrote sections of the script when he found out that Johnny Depp was supposed to play this in the 90s. That's when he got involved. Also, Eric Bana was in heavy contention, but they gave him the Hulk instead.
Oh, I'm sure he's glad he made the right decision. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, this Wes Bentley thing, man.
According to an interview he gave to the New York Times in 2010, this movie was made during the middle of Wes Bentley's decade-long, extremely serious addiction to cocaine and heroin. He said in that interview that he only accepted any movie roles during that time so that he would have enough money to buy drugs.
Wait a second. How much drugs was he doing?
That's a great question.
There is some wild shit in that interview. He's living with weird people. He's owing weird people money. And it made me wonder if he's applying his own smoky eye to be Blackheart.
The helicopter scene at the top of the building, the director put his own money in to make that action sequence.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You gotta have the helicopter.
That was sequence. A reshoot. Like, that was they added that much later. This was originally planned for summer of 2006. And then, due to some complications with everything, ended up coming out, I think, in February of 2007.
Yeah. They wrapped principal photography in June 05.
Did he really think, like, the helicopter scene was gonna save this movie?
Yeah. He watched The Matrix.
Yo, by the way, they say the Zack Snyder version of...
Next year, baby. Snyder Cut. It's coming.
It's coming to HBO Max.
I can't wait.
They still can't fix the mustache, and I can't get past that.
I just like the idea that, like, as shitty as it was, he's like, no. But if you see my version, it's actually going to be good. Okay, buddy.
Justice League, 40%.
Ooh. Okay.
Just saying.
Eva Mendes intentionally gained weight for her role as Roxanne Simpson because she shares very little resemblance to the comic book version and stated that she, at least for the fans, could be as voluptuous as the comic version.
Like, she wasn't already voluptuous? Like, I didn't understand that at all.
God bless it.
The movie was originally budgeted at $65 million. Production costs went up as soon as Nick Cage came on board and demanded a hefty fee to play the lead. He also demanded that the Ghost Rider had to look photorealistic in post-production, which increased the production cost even more. So wait, it almost
that's it,
doubled.
That's it looking photorealistic?
That's after a polish.
So that's how they hit $110 million on the budget. Jesus. But it made $228. Who cares?
Who cares, man?
Oh, it was Nick Cage's idea to cast Peter Fonda as the villain. Is he the villain?
Not really.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
The Ghost Rider was also featured in a commercial for Jackson Hewitt Tax Services in which the character presented his income tax forms to a clerk for processing to receive a quick refund check. I have no idea.
Why?
The head-on shot showing Johnny Blaze crashing his motorcycle on landing after jumping a long line of trucks is identical to the famous shot of Evel Knievel's crash after a spectacular jump at Caesar's Palace on December 31st, 1967. The caretaker's identity as another rider who knows what it's like to be one firsthand is implied by his having left exactly the right number of cups of water for Johnny to guzzle when he wakes up. I don't think that's true. That's not real trivia.
No.
This is my favorite one, though. To create the Ghost Rider's voice, sound designer Dane A. Davis recorded all of Nicolas Cage's lines as the Ghost Rider and then filtered them through three different kinds of animal growls, played backwards, covering three separate frequencies, then played them through a mechanical volumizer before finally giving them a fiery crackle. Writer and director Mark Steven Johnson compared it to a deep, demonic, mechanical lion's roar and said one thing is for sure, his voice will shake the theater. It sounded like garbage.
It sounds so bad.
Guilty.
That is what we call over-editing.
So there are no movie reviews from Tony Medley in 2007.
What the fuck was Tony Medley doing in 2007?
Him and Wes Bentley getting it in.
So I did try to find something that had ghosts in it. And so I don't think we're going to do this movie, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Oh my God.
All right, this is Tony Medley on Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Yeah. What happens when the immovable object, like Matthew McConaughey, who has made a string of bombs longer than Wilt Chamberlain's arm, meets the irresistible force, like Mark Waters, who directed two of the century's best comedies, Freaky Friday and Mean Girls. I forgot that he was so horny for Freaky Friday.
He loves Freaky Friday.
Since this is a director's medium, one would think the smart money would be on Waters. Alas, the smart money is not always right. McConaughey emerges victorious in this vacuous, unfunny attempt at humor. Maybe Waters can blame writers John Lucas and Scott Moore along with McConaughey, although Matthew seems to have a genius for picking horrible material. Then again, maybe I give Matthew too much credit. Maybe he is nothing more than a beautiful smile. The movie started so poorly that I leaned over to the beautiful 20-something girl sitting next to me and asked if she thought this was as bad as I did after 4 minutes.
Whoa.
She said she did.
Tony! What?
Photographer Connor Mead is a shallow bachelor who disdains commitment. I can't imagine any woman spending any time with him, much less with her clothes off, regardless of how cute he might be. I don't think you understand attraction. He's a consummate jerk. He goes to the wedding of his brother Paul, Brecken Meyer, where he comes across the girlfriend of his youth, Jenny Parati, Jennifer Garner. What proceeds is predictable, as Connor just about ruins his brother's wedding, but hey, maybe he can hook up with Jenny again. This is a takeoff on Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol, as Connor is visited by his dead Uncle Wayne, played by Michael Douglas in a dispiriting performance, and then the ghost of Girlfriend's Past, Alison Vandermeersch from Emma Stone, who gives the only good performance in the movie and is an exceptional outing indeed. Present, who's Melanie by Noreen DeWolf, and who is not really dead, and future, Olga Malouk, an unspeaking, ethereal beauty. There is not a believable character in the entire movie. The setup at the beginning of the movie where we see Connor in action as a professional photographer is so ridiculous, it's obvious Waters knows nothing about photography and didn't care enough to hire an advisor to create some believability. After the opening scene, the movie is just plunged downhill. I would say this was a complete and utter waste of time and talent, but except for Emma Stone, I didn't see any talent.
I mean, he's not wrong about Emma Stone, so.
Love Emma Stone.
But what is he doing creeping on people in the movie theater, Tony?
He's definitely a catcaller, right?
Him and Wes Bentley.
All right. Golden Dumpster?
I got a lot of nominees for this. Oof. Misogynistic Mutton Chop Ginger Biker. The Sobey Dome, Peter Fonda, Wes Bentley, Sam Elliott, Nick Cage, Nick Cage's accent, Nick Cage's shredded body, the CGI, a flaming skull whistling, the waiter who turned down Eva Mendes, Rebel Wilson, calling the black kid innocent, and the shovel reveal.
Roll out pizza dough on those abs, you know what I mean?
Yo, the final few episodes of Rick and Morty. They came up with this term.
Gutters.
I don't know if they invented is that a real term or did they invent that term?
No, cum gutters is a thing.
I don't think they invented it. That's real.
They didn't invent that. That's been around for since at least D'Angelo.
Nick Cage for sure had cum gutters in that mirror.
The term.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh man, where are you going, Zach, with your golden dumpster?
Oh, it's Cage turning into the Ghost Rider. He's acting his ass off. Are you kidding me?
Is that just Nick Cage?
Yes, that's just Nick Cage, baby.
I'm going to go with Ghost Rider deciding two-thirds of the movie. And you know what? I'm going to be a vigilante. First thing I'm going to do, kill a mugger. Murder a mugger.
Oh, Maze, what's your golden dumpster?
It's got to be the flaming skull whistling. I'm still mad about that.
Oh, man.
I like that you will not suspend your disbelief
for
a flaming skull whistling. But the idea of a motorcycle answering to a whistle and answering only to a whistle. The only way the motorcycle would know that Ghost Rider needs it is through a whistle. Didn't even have ears.
All right. Amin, phobe or file?
This is a definitely super phobe.
What?
This movie was awful.
Super phobe.
It didn't make any sense. Like, you got to have some basic plot device for the reason for everything to happen. They never introduced that. Why are we doing this? Why is this document so important? So you get the 1,000 souls. How's it going to help you take over the world? None of that is explained. This movie was awful. What was so awful about it, it made me mad at one point because I thought to myself, do I just not like it? Do I have something against motorcycles? Right, I'm thinking about Hot Rod.
I'm anti-motorcycle for sure.
Is it and I thought about Gemini Man. I was like, is it a motorcycle thing where I'm just angry at motorcycles? But then I said, no, they don't have a plot either. And I think I'm angrier about that.
Okay. Maze? Oh, wait. I'd like to change my golden dumpster.
Yeah.
I'm going to change it to him eating out that martini glass full of jelly beans.
I mean, you're still talking about getting in the cage.
Yeah, that's true.
You got the full repertoire.
Maze Foberfile.
I'm starting to get concerned about myself. If I could see myself in a third-person perspective, my habits in relation to cinephobe, they're not healthy. I think I watched this movie for like 4 hours yesterday because I was rewinding and I was pausing and I was taking notes and I wasn't fully locked in. This is a two-hour podcast. I have a feeling it's going to be a two-parter. And then I'm going to spend probably 6 to 8 hours editing this son of a bitch. And I don't know if I like it anymore. I don't know. I've been on the verge this whole podcast.
The podcast or the movie?
This movie. I love this podcast.
I tolerate it.
I was very torn because I really like Sam Elliott. I think Nick Cage is actually doing pretty good stuff. The accent, I mean, we've had some real shitbag accents, and he at least can do a Southern accent. But then half the movie is CGI with this fucking demon skull that doesn't even have his voice. It's his voice run through a meat tenderizer. But I had a really good time on this pod, so I think I'm going to have to file it.
Yeah, I'm torn on this because...
How we're doing this?
I'm torn on this because I don't like... For the most part, I don't really like comic book movies, right? I'm not a comic book guy, and I just don't think they do them all that well. They've gotten better, but I still don't think they do them all that well. And it just becomes like CGI porn at this point, right? With the fights and everything. It just becomes a giant battle royale. So Peter Fonda and... Peter Fonda actually does a good job. He's just his devil character made no sense.
At the beginning, I was thinking that he was very close to not having an ass.
Yeah, same. But he definitely has an ass.
But he never got there.
No, he never quite got there. Never lost his ass.
He never took the ass off.
Wes Bentley is atrocious. Atrocious.
I mean, Wes Bentley's just high, dude. Like, I can't blame the man.
Like, I would have rather them, like, kept in the part where he shoots up right before the scene starts.
Get them checks, Wes Bentley.
He's so bad, and the villain is so bad. Like, the character itself, I don't know that anyone could have done it justice.
God, no.
Other than if Nick Cage was playing it. There are just so many holes in this movie. Like, the vigilante part, killing a mugger for mugging, that's weird. But then at the same time, I love Nicolas Cage, right? And I think he does a great job in this movie. And so... I think I'm going to go against the grain here, guys, and not do what you're expecting me to do. I'm going to file it.
Was that against the grain?
You filed a movie you picked?
I filed a Nick Cage movie. What? I filed Nick Cage acting his fucking ass off. I filed Nick Cage watching a chimpanzee while eating a martini glass full of jelly beans because he doesn't drink alcohol because of the nightmares. I believe every part of the Ghost Rider character.
Explain it all.
Let me break it down like this for you, Amin, all right? Here's Zach's last three picks.
What does that have to do with anything with this movie?
Primal.
Great movie.
Zach filed it. You and me phobed it, Amin.
What? You guys are wrong.
Cop Out. Zach filed it. You and me phobed it, Amin.
Yeah. Monocle wearing motherfucker.
I Am Wrath. Zach filed it. You and me phobed it. I gave him one here. This is better than those three movies.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, Nick Cage movie is a real movie.
Maze, I don't know why you wasted your time reading the last three.
Could have been any single movie.
He literally has liked every single movie he's picked except for one. The one he didn't like was Good Luck Chuck.
You know, every once in a while he gives us a double impact, but it feels like 5 years ago.
We got 2 hours out of this movie too. I gave you another double impact.
It's only because Amin is like talking about anything but this movie.
That's what saved the pod. Major like, oh, I enjoyed the pod, so I'm going to file this. I'm like, is that how we're doing this now? If you enjoyed the pod, well, then you should be filing me then.
I was on the verge. I couldn't decide, and the pod put me over the top.
I tried to do a different movie. You guys were dicks, so you got Ghost Rider. And you know what? You're welcome for getting Ghost Rider.
What was the other movie you wanted to do?
I was going to do like The Breakup or something. And you guys shame me. You guys say, oh, you idiot. We've been doing great movies lately. I don't know what you're talking about. And so you know what? I gave you another great movie.
Nobody said that.
That was me. He was mad at me. And this was his spite pick against me, which failed.
Or did it? Or have I ruined your mind so much with my picks during this whole thing that you don't know what world you're walking through, Ghost Rider? You don't know which one. You don't know where you are. So you're just filing.
It's true, because I can walk in both. So I'm not sure which one I'm in ever.
Exactly. Bonehead.
He's picking. Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.
Who's picking next?
You know who it is.
What do you got, Maze? Where are you going with it?
All right, so put a lot of thought into this, guys. And last week, I don't know where in time callback this is. I guess it's a future callback. You guys both said that two different movies came out, and you thought Eddie Murphy is back.
Oh, no.
And I will tell you that there is one movie where no one said that.
Oh, wow.
And that movie is The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Wow. Well, let me tell you right now, spoiler alert, saw this one in the theater with my brother.
I'm excited. This is a movie that I've heard many things about that I've never seen.
Oh, buckle up. Eddie Murphy, as you've never seen him before. Where can the people find it?
It's, you got to pay for it. We're paying for this one.
Ooh, tough times.
Yeah, no, I don't care.